This morning, as I was listening to EWTN radio, as I often do, I was listening to Father Thomas Petrie, who's a wonderful Dominican and theologian based right out of D.C. And he was talking about how it's really easy to talk and to preach about purgatory, especially on All Souls Day, because it's such a great mercy of our Lord. You know, we often think that the moment we die, we magically become other people, that we don't have any jealousies or anger, we don't gossip anymore, that somehow we're turned into this perfect person. But that's the whole idea, is that we're not ready to see God often at the moment of our death. In fact, St. John Newman wrote a very compelling poem in which he describes the soul being taken directly from earth to the judgment seat of God. And in all of his glory, because his soul is not ready for the light, like somebody that's just woken up from a deep sleep, he's blinded by it. It's painful. And so he has to be prepared. So purgatory is compared to a warm bath where the angels brought this soul. And then after a time of becoming cleansed, and sort of this spiritual baptism, brought back into the presence of God, and is prepared to see him and to experience God in all of his glory because he's been purified. And how do we talk about purgatory? Why do we believe in it? Well, first of all, from Scripture. Even in this first reading from the Book of Wisdom, it talks about that purification, that they are tried as gold in the furnace and purified. And those dart about like sparks through stubble. Jesus himself talks about not being prepared yet for the wedding banquet, but spending time preparing for it outside the gate and then coming in. Jesus even talks about the fact that many people need to have that time of reconciling with one's brother. That if you have any dispute before you get to the magistrate, the judgment seat, make it beforehand, because otherwise you will have to still be purified after you reach him. St. Paul talks many times about the different kinds of sin, and some are deadly, but others just require a time of purification. The church fathers all talk about purgatory, and they talk about it in a compelling way, because although they don't have the words yet that we use for it, they talk about that need to pray for the dead. And even if you go down into the catacombs of Rome, underneath the city, you'll find around the area where St. Peter is buried, carvings on the wall that say, "St. Peter, pray for me," or "pray for my loved ones buried near here." In other words, this idea of praying for the dead, which goes back to the Book of Maccabees, is present. And if a soul is in heaven, they have no need of prayer. If a soul is in hell, they have no use for prayer. But if a soul, like most of us, will spend time being purified, then those are the souls that we pray for tonight. And if our loved ones and friends already see God face to face, none of these prayers go unanswered. God will be able to take those prayers and apply them to those who need them most. And several saints have said that actually when we pray for somebody who is already with God, it's that person that then redirects the prayers to the people that they feel need the most, that God gives them that privilege. So tonight we do something that is part and parcel of being a Catholic. Not in a negative way, not that we are praying for people that are suffering, for souls in torment, but we're praying for souls who are in the process of being purified to see God, as the Scriptures and the Fathers speak of. And then we ourselves, if we end up in purgatory, we have friends in heaven who are there because of our prayers. This is what we mean by the communion of saints. This is why our relationship with those who have gone before us is not ended, but changed. That we're still in communion with one another in a deeper way, in many ways, than when they lived on earth. When we talk about receiving communion, We talk about receiving the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, which primarily we do. But we also are talking about the mystical body of Christ. And that's all the souls. Those are the souls of the church militant, those who are still striving. The holy souls in purgatory, the church suffering. And the souls with God, the church triumphant. So as we tonight pray for those who have gone before, whether many years ago or just recently, we can understand purgatory as something that is a mercy of God. That he looks on us and he sees that we died with trust in him. And that trust turns to his divinizing us, his helping us to become perfect. Jesus said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Martin Luther had a much more dour view of all of this. He believed that we don't really change. We're still in heaven, seen by God as a sinner, but that he sees us covered with the blood of his Son, that we don't actually change within. But that's not what Christ says. Christ says that the wedding garment can be made clean. And that's what we believe. That it is possible, what Christ said, to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So let us take all of the souls that have gone before us and offer in this Mass our communion with them. That this evening, no matter how long you've been without your loved ones and your friends who have gone before, tonight we have true communion with them. True communion in prayer and in the Eucharist. And also in the Word of God. Because when we talk about the souls that have gone before, the Book of Wisdom tells us in our first reading, the souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them.